From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Sonam Tenzin Gamso. Sri Sonam joined the erstwhile Sri Sathya Sai College of Arts, Science and Commerce in 1978 for his 11th grade and continued till his PhD in 1990 and received the degree from Bhagwan during the 65th birthday celebrations. During his stay here with Bhagwan, he was a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, which gave him the unique privilege to sing innumerable times in the divine presence and compose many bhajans that we sing today. On his graduation, he was blessed by Swami to go out and serve as the assistant director of Sikkim Research Institute of Tibetology, after which he has been busy with many projects, some with UNICEF and the government of Nepal. Mr. Sonam has traveled extensively, working in the fields of archaeology, culture and social development. He is also actively involved in several NGOs and Sai Seva projects. He regularly visits Prashanti Nilayam and mentors young members of the Prashanti Bhajan group. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanti Nilayam on the 19th of September 2016. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After this talk, you will be treated to some beautiful bhajans composed by Brother Sonam. After which, at 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Brother Sonam.
या देवी सर्वभूतेषु मातृरूपेण संस्थिता नमस्तस्यै 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 नमो नमः प्रेम प्रदायिनी दुर्गति नाशिनी जगदीश्वरी साई मां प्रेम प्रदायिनी दुर्गति नाशिनी जगदीश्वरी साई मां प्रेम प्रदायिनी दुर्गति नाशिनी जगदीश्वरी साई मां प्रेम जगदीश्वरी साई मां जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां जय मां आदि शक्ति शुभ दाई जननी अरविंद लोचनी मां आदि शक्ति शुभ दाई जननी अरविंद लोचनी मां आदि शक्ति शुभ दाई जननी अरविंद लोचनी मां आदि शक्ति शुभ तुम्हारी तरश बिन सुना है जीवन तुम्हारी तरश बिन सुना है जीवन तुम्हारी दर्श बिन सुना है जीवन जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां जय मां प्यारी मां साई मां प्रेम प्रदायिनी दुर्गति नाशिनी जगदीश्वरी साई मां My loving salutations at your divine lotus feet, Swami. See, many of us, we have been referring to Bhagwan as the avatar. Sometimes really not knowing what it implies. At most of the times, we talk about the soul that we have never seen. जिसको देखा नहीं उसे खुदा कहते हैं एंड सामने जिसको देखते हैं इंसानों को देखते हैं वी रियली डोंट फील दैट कंपैशनेट एंड वन टू वन विथ ह्यूमैनिटी अराउंड अस बट वी वर्शिप अ गॉड हुम वी प्रिफर नेवर टू सी बिकॉज इट बिकम्स इजियर व्हेन यू डोंट सी गॉड यू नो समटाइम्स इट यूज्ड टू बी सो डिफिकल्ट when Swami would reveal his omniscience and people sometimes would say, I hope he doesn't know about what I have done today. I hope Swami doesn't know. And then conveniently, we had created a mechanism of Swami's divinity and human side of his personality. And we would say that divinely he knows everything. But at a human level, he doesn't know. And whatever we thought, he reflected it back. Yad bhavam tad bhavati, Swami keeps telling us. Swami once was with us in Vrindavan, when we were students in Vrindavan. You were also in Vrindavan. You were here. So I was reading a fantastic, during our heydays, we are having a fantastic, wonderful time with Bhagwan. So young, so dashing. And all of us also very young at that time. College students. I was in my 12th standard. And I vividly recall that beautiful moment with Bhagwan inside the bungalow, inside the room that actually last time when we had a satsang together, I described that beautiful room. It was called the safe room. It was called safe room for us. We literally took it as a safe room because you know, you could shield yourself from the rest of our lecturers and everyone, bunk classes and be inside the safe room and feel very safe and snug and comfortable. And Swami used to spend hours on end with the students and some of his chosen office bearers of the Satyasai organization from Karnataka. Most of them would come there and congregate inside that safe room within the bungalow. Swami's residence was then called the bungalow, now it's called Trayi Vrindavan. And we were with Bhagwan in his room and Swami was sitting on the divan. And that day, he was just chewing, he was making a little bit of paan. Those days Swami used to eat paan. And some people with poetic genius, they had also written Tambula Ranjita. You know, this is how he described Bhagwan. As one who looks so beautiful and serene, with his lips, you know, so red with the redness of the tambulam. And then there, Bhagwan was sitting, quietly making his paan from that silver paan box that we had the opportunity, privilege to prepare for Bhagwan. All the students by turn, we used to cut the bitter leaves into small, you know, triangles. And then we used to prepare the chunam, the lime. And then we used to also put a little bit of clove
And Swami used to mix up these things, and beautifully he would place it in his mouth. And the moment you would look at Bhagwan, you would feel very thirsty. It would invoke that feel in you, because Swami is full of rasa. This is how I used to feel in my tender hearts those times. Very new to the environment there, I used to feel that Swami definitely must be full of rasa. And Swami, I heard Swami speak so many times, raso vaisaha. God is extolled as the embodiment of nectar, sweetness. And Swami used to betray that most of the time he would be sitting there. And that day, Swami started talking to Professor Kasturi. And Swami said, "Tell me, Kasturi, what is the age difference between me and you? Am I not elder to you?" And Kasturi Garu said, "No, Swami, I think I am 10 years elder to you." And then Swami said, "Only 10 years. But then you look 50 years elder to me." It's all about lifestyle, Swami said. Then Swami looked at me. Look at him, he looks old at this age. Because I was sitting bent like this. And to our dismay, most of the people sitting there, they were all sitting completely hunched, with a bent back, and all of us looking very old and haggard. And Swami said, "Look at me, I look so beautiful." Then Swami said, "What's the difference between beautiful?" Because somebody was trying to correct Swami. "No, Swami, you look handsome because you are a man, you know." And Swami was telling, "Beauty is inside. Handsomeness is all about how do you really show yourself? How do you really garnish yourself? How do you really put on your makeup and try to look like? It's the external part of you, your personality. What exudes out is what is already within by default. And the beauty of the soul, when it reflects on the face, you look very beautiful and young and dashing," Swami said. "So am I not beautiful?" Swami started describing himself that day. And then he started with his eyes and said, "My eyes are so beautiful. You would feel like writing poetry on my eyes. So many people have written songs on my eyes. Kamala Netra Saishwara, Arvinda Lochana." These are all descriptions of Bhagwan's beautiful eyes. And then Swami said, "Look at my nose. It's neither big nor small. Just the right proportion. It becomes big if you are puffed up with ego," Swami said. "And it looks ugly and reddish if you are egoistic and angry. Mine is always the same," Swami said. Just talking to very elderly people, learned people like Professor Kasturi, talking to them as though, you know, a mother cajoling or talking to her children. Then Swami said, "Look at my lips. I never speak untruth. So my lips are not swollen with untruth. I always speak the truth. I always speak loving words. I am always positive. I always say yes, yes. S, S, S," Swami said, "is not only Sri Satya Sai, but yes, yes, yes. Whatever you ask, it's given to you." Then Swami started describing the Vyanjana on his neck. Three beautiful, distinctive, you know, lines on his neck. And Swami said, "This is the Vyanjana of the avatar. These three lines, if it is this way, you become a Shaiva. This way, you become a Shaiva. This way, you become a Vishnu, Vaishnavite." Swami said, "I am Shiva, I am Vishnu, I am Parvati, I am all the gods and goddesses put together. And look at my weight, how I maintain myself," Swami said. "Just 54.2 or something," Swami said that day. "I just maintain my weight. Look at my tummy, everything." And then Swami started talking to each one of us. And then Swami said, "Kasturi, did you ever smoke in your life?" He said, "Yes, Swami, I smoked once upon a time." So it so turned out that when he started quizzing everyone, everyone was a former chain smoker or a casual smoker. And everyone had drunk once in a while, once in their lifetime. Swami said, "Parva ledu. There is always a saint without, all saints, no, there is no saint without a past, no sinner without a future. So you have done the right thing, but now you don't do it. Then Swami said, this is one of the marks of the avatar. Swami said, I am the personification of beauty. And it was, you know, it was a sight for the gods to come and see, to come and listen to Bhagwan extolling himself. I have never after that in my life heard Bhagwan talk about himself in those superlative terms and say that everything that I do is perfect, Swami said. My looks are perfect. My beauty is perfect. My gait is perfect. My speech is perfect. Whatever I do is perfection. Satya Sai is perfection, Swami said. I am perfect at the relative level. I am perfect at the absolute level, Swami said that day. It still echoes and rings in my ears. Swami saying those beautiful words. And that, Swami said, is Aishwarya. Aishwarya, Swami said, is one of the hallmarks of the avatar. Then Swami said, there are six such marks of an avatar. And these are all related in the scriptures, Swami said. Later on somebody told me, oh, that is in the Vishnu Puran, because we read books. So we can collect a lot of bookish knowledge here. And then we feel that I know the avatar very well because I can relate him to those theories written in those books. When the avatar has allowed us to personalize him, when he allowed us to be with him, be his contemporaries, and to realize him, realize Godhood, my own divinity, the way he wanted me to realize, to work out my own redemption. I always looked for references, books, talks by somebody, some very big sage giving a talk. When I have the avatar as the most beautiful, resplendent reference for me, why did I waste my time? And Swami said, don't waste time. Just look at me, listen to me, that's enough. You don't need to do anything else. So Aishwarya is perfection. And Swami said, I am the very epitome of perfection. I play it to the hilt. When I give darshan, every day of the year I give darshan. Come rain, come sunshine. It's just like the morning sunshine, you know, the sun. Sunrise and sunset. I give darshan, Swami said. I never miss giving you darshan. You might miss my darshan, but I don't miss giving you darshan. So it happened. It so happened that most of us, we used to take it for granted. We would go home and then say that we'll go to Puttaparthi and have his darshan, because darshan was taken for granted. Anyway, he would give darshan. When darshan became quite durlabh, when he stopped giving darshan almost, even then we didn't realize the value of that darshan. I'm not trying to, you know, pour a jug of water on you, all of us. It's time for all of us to sit and think. Then he said, Yasha, glory is another beautiful facet of divinity. Divinity that takes human form, a human form. That is an avatar. And Yasha, glory, when I think of his glory today in retrospect, can you just imagine that throughout the world, wherever you go, people are singing his glory. When the avatar left his divine form here, the reaction in our small Sikkim, you don't even see Sikkim, it's not even a dot on the map of India. It's so small. Such a small, tiny state, Himalayan state. And in that Sikkim, there is so much life there also. Lot of humanity, buzzing with humanity, activities. And we have so many civil societies, organizations, people who never thought would believe in Bhagwan or even think of Bhagwan. But that day, when news went round that Swami had left his divine form, in Sikkim, in the marketplace, people from all walks of life, they congregated there. They all wanted to pray for Bhagwan. I looked at some of those people whom I used to once upon a time think that, do these people sing bhajans? Are they interested in spirituality? Politicians, merchants, businessmen, People from all different walks of life, they were there talking about Swami and crying. That was the outreach of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And what I saw in Sikkim was just a reflection of what was happening throughout the world. Today I can hold my heart and tell you that places where no humanity, no human beings have gone and, you know, seen, places totally in the wilderness where some aborigines live, even there they are singing Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Bhajan. I have myself experienced this, so I am sharing it with you. There is a place called Jangu in Sikkim. You can call it back of the beyond. And in that place, there are these Lepcha aborigines. So there was a German wayfarer, a German tourist, who had gone to Sikkim, and he had been taken to Jongu by some tour travel agents. And there he was taken to the hut, the house of the village chieftain. It is a pure reserve for the Lepchas. And in that place, these Lepchas were all, you know, it was a very cold wintry evening. And by the time he reached there, there was a bonfire inside the house. There was a small fire. And all these people were huddled together around the fire. And there was a huge mural painting of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba on the wall. And these people, who don't speak any other language than Lepcha language, they were singing songs in praise of nature, because they didn't know bhajans. So they were singing songs, seated around the fire. But then all the praise was to the figure which was portrayed in the mural painting. So this man, this German, was surprised. Who might this person be? Like, how do you know this person? Because he had seen Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He had been to Puttaparthi, he had been to Whitefield. So when he went there and he saw this, the thought that came to him was, how did these people know about him? So they asked him, do you know who he is? So the Lepcha chief, through the translator, he said that is the picture of our God. And that God is called Pongrum. He said, he is Pongrum. So he said, how do you know about, do you know that Pongrum is already there in South India? I have seen him and I am coming from the land of Pongrum. So he said, he is the God of hunting. We worship him. Some sannyasi was going, you know, one day passing by this, our village. So he gave us this picture, and since that day, imagine their innocence, they had actually made a mural painting, a thangka out of it. Thangka is a very traditional Buddhist mural painting. So we made a thangka out of it and we have been hanging it here. We don't know whoever he is, but we had never seen the face of our God. For the first time someone has shown us the face of our God. So we are so happy and we are singing his glory. We don't know other songs. So these are all nature worshippers. They are also singing Swami's name. And I still remember one day in Vrindavan when we were waiting for Swami's darshan, a group of people who's from Africa who only spoke Swahili. So they came. And as usual, Professor Bhagwantam wanted to come inside with the entourage to translate Swami's discourse to them. Swami said, why do you want to come? Do you know Swahili language? Swami asked them. So Professor Bhagwantam said, no, Swami. Swami said, neither do they understand English. So you have no job at all here. You have no work. What will you do? Then Swami said, but if you want to come, you can come along. Because Swami wanted, out of his compassion, but there was need for somebody to come outside the interview room and tell us whatever would transpire in the interview room. Because Swami wouldn't tell us. So they went there and the interview lasted for almost 2 hours. There were peals of laughter. We were standing right there outside the interview room in bungalow, in that old bungalow. We could hear huge, you know, peals of laughter, thunderous laughter, that couldn't have happened if Swami was only gesticulating or gesturing, you know. And then later on we heard from Professor Bhagwantam that the moment they entered the interview room, and then Swami created the Vibhuti Prasadam for all of them, Swami started talking to them very fluently in Swahili language, just to these people. I still remember one Lepcha had come to Puttaparthi, Vrindavan, and then he didn't understand anything except Lepcha, and he was one of those Bongthings. Bongthing is a Lepcha shaman priest. He was a priest. And then he got an interview and Swami spoke to him whatever. When they came out, this man could speak a smattering of Hindi. So he was telling, and we overheard this dialogue, he was telling Swami, "Swami, Bhagwan, ab humko Hindu banna hai kya?" he said. "Do I need to change my, convert myself into Hinduism now? Because so far I have been a Lepcha Buddhist." And then Swami was telling him, Swami laughed so loud, and Swami said, "Tum jaisa ho, vaisa hi thik hai. Lo ye le lo." Swami said and created a huge egg. It was not a shaligram or a shivalinga. It was a proper egg. And Swami said, "Tumhara baap dada iska puja karta hai, tu bhi iska puja kar lo. Isi se tumhara mukti hai." Then Swami showed the egg to all of us and said, "For him it's an egg. It's a primordial egg. But for all of you, this is actually the Shiva, it's the linga. It's also worshipped as the linga." And then Swami said, Hiranyagarbha. Swami said, "This is the Hiranyagarbha." And Swami gave it to him lovingly, patted him on his head, on the crown of his head, and Swami said, "Tumko Hindu nahi banna hai." Again Swami emphasized, "Go." So what I'm trying to tell you is, you know, this outreach, tremendous outreach of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, because wherever we go, we only meet people who say Sai Ram. And if a person doesn't say Sai Ram, we feel that he's a non-devotee. We even have the audacity to use words like non-devotee. Where in the whole world is people everywhere, all sentient and insentient beings, everybody is his devotee. And then we, because in our own ignorance, limitation, we try to localize God only in Swami, in that name and form. We don't feel that beyond that name and form also Swami exists everywhere throughout the world. People speaking all different dialects, different languages, different, and people professing different religions. Even religions which are not even registered, we don't even know those religions. Systems, religious faiths. These people, they know about Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I can quote, like I can stand here, and I believe that you can stand here for umpteen hours and talk about this. So that outreach of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, and another wonderful facet, that these are very small things that, you know, very simple things that occur to you. You know, sometimes we forget. Now, wherever you go, we come across a Sai devotee. And then the Sai devotee, if you just ask him, nudge him and say, or her, and say that, "Will you kindly share some of your experiences?" And then a whole world of experiences, you know, starts tumbling out. And these people, invariably they say, "And on this day Swami spoke to me. On that day Swami looked at me. And then I had an eye contact with Bhagwan. And on this day of this year, Swami saved my grandson." Imagine, millions and billions of people, Swami spoke to them personally. Unless he is the one who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, how could any one of us, can you imagine, can you recount how many people you have touched in your life? In our own chudra, limitation, parichinnata, hamare apni parichinnata mein, hum logon ne kitne logon ke saath zindagi mein vartalaap ki hogi. Can you imagine? With how many people would he, you would have interacted in your lifetime? Swami has interacted at a very personal level with billions of people throughout the world. Those who are avowed devotees of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and conformists who come to the Satya Sai organization, there are at least 10 times more than those people who come to the Satya Sai organization who are also devotees of Bhagwan. And they very in their own quiet manner, they stay at home and worship him and think about him. And they get touched by him every day, every moment. Today, this morning, I was talking to this bhaiya, and he was telling me, "I have composed so many bhajans. I have met in my lifetime at least 600 to 700 bhajan composers who have composed beautiful bhajans. Some of those bhajans are sung here. But many of those bhajans are never even known to the world. But Swami has touched them also. He has inspired poetry in people. He has inspired music in people. He has inspired art in people. All different manifestations of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba through people. How did he do that? Unless he is God. That is, what is Yasha? Yasha is not somebody singing my glory. Yasha is all about my being everywhere. My being in the heart of everyone. That is Yasha. And Swami says, that is your legacy. That is my legacy to you. That is your sole inheritance. Inherit it now. So that you carry, you become Satya Sai Baba. You are Sai. And Swami says this very exclusively. Sai is not only this name and form, but Sai is the spiritual awareness of individuals. S-A-I, Sai. Sai is service, adoration and illumination. Bhakti, Jnana and Karma. The Triveni Sangam of Bhakti, Jnana and Karma is Sai. Otherwise all the pandits were teaching us upside down that either you be a Bhakti Yogi or Jnana Yogi or Karma Yogi. And here was Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Here he is telling us that bhakti vihin jnan, jnan vihin karma nahi hota. These are all interrelated. You cannot do bhakti unless you have jnan.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Thank you.
सहायक सारी
प्रशांति प्रदायक सारी
प्रशांति प्रदायक सारी
प्रशांति प्रदायक सारी
कमल मनोहर अनुपम सुंदर
कमल मनोहर अनुपम सुंदर
परतिपुरी भगवान साई
परतिपुरी भगवान साई
प्रशांति प्रदायक साई
प्रशांति प्रदायक साई
सकल चरा विश्वविधाता
सकल चराचर विश्वविधाता
हम सबके पिता और माता
हम सबके पिता और माता
जीवन नैया पार करो प्रभु
जीवन नैया पार करो प्रभु
प्रशांति प्रदान
साई
प्रशांति प्रदायक साई
प्रशांति प्रदायक साई
कमल मनोहर अनुपम सुंदर परतिपुरी भगवान साई
You're listening to the Thursday Life on the Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Stay tuned. Welcome back, dear listeners. We are now continuing with the talk by Brother Sonam. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashantinilayam on the 19th of September 2016. Stay tuned.
So, the omni, you know, Bhagwan ka jo yash jo kehte hain, that gaurav jo kehte hain, that gaurav and yasha is being in everyone. I'll tell you one of my small beautiful experiences that I had long back. I was then not a student and I was aspiring to join his college around 15 years of age. And then Swami had asked me to come to Puttaparthi to join his college the previous year. So when I came with so much hope in my heart that Swami will, the moment he would see me, he would recognize me and call me inside and I would be a hero. But he didn't do any of these. He didn't recognize me at all. To the extent that I started thinking that maybe he didn't see me. In the beginning I thought maybe in the crowd he wouldn't have seen me. Then I started thinking maybe he would have forgotten his promise. At 15, this is how we think. But at 50, if I still continue to think that way, then I would have wasted my life. But then what Swami said at that time, I really went through a very tough time for quite some time, then it made me introspect. For now, this introspection I learned at that point of time is not something that someone teaches us. It's something which is ingrained in us. It's there in our system by default. Introspection and penitence. It is there. John the Baptist doesn't need to come and tell us anymore. Repent. He doesn't need to tell us because it's there by default. That's what John the Baptist was trying to, you know, bring out from people. You have the capacity to repent. Come on, repent. Because at some point of time you have made a mistake. And unless you rectify that mistake, you are not going to recognize the Son of God. To look at the Son of God and to say, to feel in your hearts that yes, I am in the company of God. And then what happened was, I started introspecting. I stopped eating food. And that became all the more easier because somebody from my state came and wanted some money. because he was running short of money, an elderly person. So whatever money I had, he took it from me. So I was left with hardly anything to sustain myself. And he had promised that he would go home and send me the money, which he never did. So I was left with a few rupees. Then even if I had wanted, I couldn't go to the canteen and afford two square meals for myself. And then Swami had stopped an SOS which I had sent, a telegram that I had sent to my mother saying that please send some money. The telegram never reached home. And later on in my interview, Swami told me, I stopped your telegram. Because that money never belonged to you. That money belonged to your mother. You have to repay it back to her one day. And then with what right did you give it to somebody? Can you be philanthropic on somebody's earning? You cannot do that. So, during that time of introspection, I was sitting, and those days, you know, those were the beautiful times in Prashant land, when it was very democratic for any devotee to walk in anywhere and sit anywhere, a place of your choice. Just select, choose a corner and sit there. And the whole place was carpeted with sand from Chitravati. And that sand you don't even see in the riverbed in Chitravati today. So that sand from Chitravati, devotees would bring in baskets and spread it all around in the foreground. And there Swami would give darshan. And you know what a wonderful place. Swami would leave behind him his footprints whenever, because it was all sand and it was burning sand. It was like, you know, baking oven. And Swami would walk on that barefooted. And with his bare feet he would walk on that and then leave behind his footprints. And devotees, when they wouldn't get an interview or a word from him, would at least scoop up a little bit of that sand and then eat some of it and take it home as Swami's vibhuti and prasadam. So a grain of sand touched by his divine lotus feet was promised for everybody. It was ensured for everyone who would come to Prashanti Nilayam. And during those times, I also sat there and I said, in the morning I had gone to the Hanuman temple and Kalpa Vriksha, which I told you last time when I came. I don't know whether you were here when I spoke last time. That was some years back. And I told you about how I went to the Kalpa Vriksha and I got initiated into Hanuman Chalisa by a great devotee of Hanumanji. And the day I got initiated, on my way back, I had the Sakshat Darshan of Hanumanji that day. Seated on a flat stone slab, Hanumanji, a huge monkey, in the form of a huge monkey with manes that looked like the manes of a lion. He was seated there and playing with flowers that we had earlier offered there. So it took a thing short. So what happened was, when I came back, I sat for darshan and sat right in the front. Because you know, it was first come, first serve. The moment you would come, you could get up. And we didn't have too many rules and regulations about who should sit where. The place was still not divided into different blocks of different types of devotees, you know. VIPs and NIPs. And then Swami would say, don't bother about VIPs. They are very integrated persons, you know. Not very important persons. And Swami would make people feel so comfortable. Oh, so what about us, Swami? If you are integrated, you are also a VIP, Swami would say. So those were the times when I was seated there. I just, I drew a small heart-like thing on the sand. And I was very hesitantly I was doing that because I was afraid whether we were allowed to dig the, you know, make that thing on the ground, whether the discipline allowed that. But I did it nevertheless. And then it was a very faint heart-like shape, I thought. But in my heart, it was very strong. And then I said, Swami, why don't you live in my heart, Swami? It looks like you don't live in my heart anymore. You have broken my heart completely. You called me here for admission in your college, in your school. And then you have refused to look at me. So just live in my heart, Swami. I said that. By the time I had lost almost 10 to 11 kilos weight. I was a scarecrow. Even now I'm a scarecrow. But then I was a super scarecrow then. Because I hadn't eaten for so many days on end. Throughout the day I wouldn't eat anything. That was on Vratam. And because by nature I was very talkative, so I stopped talking. So I was in Purna Maun Vratam. And Purna Vratam, even food-wise. I was not eating. So that day, Swami just gave darshan, and I was just sitting there crestfallen. I knew Swami wouldn't look at me. Another day, when Swami wouldn't look at me. And he just was standing right in front of me. And then very slowly he looked, he told me, "I am in your heart," he said. And then he said, "Go inside." I was so dumbfounded, I couldn't even, you know, move an inch from there. I didn't go inside. I just kept sitting there. I was rooted to the ground. And then Swami went inside, took everyone for interview, and people started cursing me and said, "Why didn't you go inside? Swami was telling you go. You should have gone inside." And I said that if he had really meant it, then he will call me this evening. He has to call me this evening. And that evening he called me inside. So anyway, so what I'm trying to tell you is, you know, this is just the story of one person standing here today, because I had the privilege to stand here and share this with you. But all of you definitely must be having different stories, but, you know, the same theme, a similar theme to narrate. And this is the outreach of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. So Aisharya, Yasha. And then Swami says, Shri. Shri is prosperity, Swami said. Swami said, I only give, I never take from people. I never ask. I never solicit. Because I am here to give. Why should Annapurna, Swami called himself Annapurna that day, why should Annapurna ask anything from anyone? I have come to give you Abhaya Hasta, Varada Hasta. My hand is the hand that gives blessings. And that prosperity, when we talk about, we see the vaibhav of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba in Prashanti Nilayam. And his prosperity is the prosperity of renunciation. Can you imagine? That Swami talks about Tyaga also at the end, among the six symbols, among the six different, you know, marks of divinity of an avatar. Vairagya is one of them. But here also, if you think of Vairagya, Swami's is austerity of the highest extent. One day Professor Kasturi asked Swami, "Why is it, Swami, that you prefer to trap yourself, you know, sit behind the walls, very narrow walls of your room?" And the room used to be so narrow, it was just measuring 10 by 10 here in the mandir. And Swami lived in that 10 by 10 room. I don't know whether we would have done that in our life. Without a fan. For almost 48 long years he lived in that room. And then Swami said, "I do that, I punish myself, and I do that to nurture faith and devotion in my devotees. To nurture that longing for the avatar's darshan in my devotees. If I start giving darshan every moment and make myself available every moment, every second, every time, people will lose interest in me. They won't be able to value my darshan. So I make myself very inaccessible and keep myself away from people so that in the morning and evening when I flow out and give darshan, people pine for that darshan. And in that pining is the salvation," Swami said. "They find in that pining for God's darshan, that bhakti becomes more and more strong. It becomes stronger. In order to enhance devotion in people, I sit myself, I keep myself away from my devotees like this. Wean myself away from them. I would like to always be with the devotees and mingle with them. And I have already done it in the past," Swami said. So those were the times when Swami did it. And how did he do it? This is his Aisharya. This is his Shri. When the Kupam family would come to Prashanti Nilayam, it would take them 4 days to wade through the river on bullock cart and somehow and reach Prashanti Nilayam. And Swami at 19 years old, a very strapping, beautiful, handsome, beautiful youth, just 19 years old, he would be standing by the riverside, riverbank, and then waiting for the family the Kupam family to reach here. And like that, there were so many other families. And then Swami would take them to Pata Mandir, that old temple. And then Swami would brew coffee for them, make coffee for them. And Swami would tell them, "Quickly wash, drink this coffee and sit with me. We cannot waste time. We have to learn bhajans." And then Swami would teach them, not these bhajans, because these bhajans came much later. Bhajans that we sing and people follow, these simple bhajans came much later. Then, those were the times when Swami would teach them solo songs. Each song going into three or four verses. And then set in different melodic patterns. Extremely classical. And Swami would sit with them. This is what astounded me when I heard it from Vijay Amma. Swami would sit with them facing the altar on the ground, on the floor. Swami would sit along with them, along with his devotees, facing the altar and sing bhajans with them and goad them, like, you know, inspire them to sing along with him. This is how he taught them. So when we talk about, you know, prosperity, when we talk about, we only think in terms of wealth. We never think in terms of this wealth, this system, the manner in which Swami taught the highest truth of Advaita in the simplest manner. Just taking the example of a cup of, you know, a glass, a tumbler, or a fan, anything around him was a beautiful teaching aid. And that was the universality of this wonderful teacher, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And what he taught us, we would never forget, because it was ingrained in us very practically. He made it so simple and pragmatic. We never do that. We confuse people. I have heard sometimes, the other day, two of my friends outside, they were talking about high philosophy, Vishishta Advaitavad and Advaitavad, and totally they were confused, and they almost confused me also. We speak about very high jargon, and we tend to speak only in Sanskrit. That shows our, you know, expertise. But Swami made it so simple, speaking in Telugu. They're just the local language, people's language. And then sometimes his gesture would speak more than the speech. Some of his gestures. So, I'm talking about this Sri of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. When he taught mankind how to sing bhajan, and with that type of, you know, imagine what might have been my attitude if I had to teach bhajan. People who come to stand here and speak, you would have done that whenever you get your turn to stand here and speak, or anywhere when you stand and speak. What do normally people do? Look at the audience and say, how many people have come to attend my speech? Imagine that ego. That feeling of that protrusion, you know, from us. And then here, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, numbers were never important for him, because the whole universe is his. And he would sit with his chosen few and teach them with this optimism that they will learn this and go and spread it. And I heard from Vijay Amma that she alone learned 800 songs from Swami. And then you had to commit it to memory. You had to learn it by heart and sing it before Swami, reproduce it before Bhagwan. Swami would say, come on, paadu paadu, and you have to sing it. Today, if there's a music teacher, we would just fish out our mobile phone or something and record it. All of us, we carry digital recorders. We just conveniently record it and we forget it. We never listen to it, we never learn it. Because conveniently we feel that it's there, I have it, one day I'll learn. And that one day never comes. And here were people who had no other option than learning it by heart and reproducing it, singing it before Bhagwan and proving their mettle. They had to prove that I have learned before Swami. I have learned the song, Swami. So this is how Swami, you know, Swami gave us his Shri, his position. And Dharma. I think I still recall in 1978 or 1980. It was during summer course. When Swami Chinmayananji was invited to speak to the students during the summer course. And you know, a Jnana Yogi like Swami Chinmayananji, when he speaks, he sets you afire, you know, ablaze. His speech, his word, his convictions are such, his Jnana is like such. And that Jnana avatar came, and he stood there and he spoke on the Sarma Shloka of Bhagavad Gita. What is the Sarma Shloka of Bhagavad Gita? Can you share with me? The Sarma Shloka of Bhagavad Gita. This. Sarva Dharman Parite Jamamikam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Dhyo Moksha Ishami Mashu Chaha. So he was speaking on that. Fantastic. There's no words can describe that speech. But then what Swami did? Swami just stopped him saying, Swami said, Odhura, you can sit now. Nobody in this world could have done that to Swami Chinmayananji, other than Krishna himself. So Swamiji, he was really shocked, surprised, as he stepped down the podium. And then he sat on the chair and Swami said, I'll take over from here. And Swami went on the stage and spoke on the Charvashloka Bhagavad Gita for 2.5 hours. That day he quoted from every relevant source on earth. He quoted even from St. John's Gospel to drive home the point of Dharma, to tell the people about the crux of the Bhagavad Gita, the sum and substance of Bhagavad Gita. In those 2.5 hours, he made it so simple and clear what Dharma is according to Bhagavad Gita and how Dharma, Mama Dharma, is the sum and substance of Bhagavad Gita. And Swami Chinmayananda, and he quoted from Chandogya Upanishad. That day boys were telling, Swami is showing off, you know. Swami is showing off that he knows everything. We also feel so happy whenever our Lord does that. And we say that it is just like praising your mother and saying, my mother is really showing off today, my mom is showing off, you know, that she can really dance. And that day, our mom, our mother, our Sai was showing off. And just for the sake of one devotee and his redemption. Because Swami had to put down his dambha, his abhiman also a little bit, and then show him his place at that level. Because Swami Chinmayananji belonged to that level. And there Swami had to rise himself to that level. His voice, he had to raise his voice to that level to make this gentleman understand in whose presence he was giving a discourse. And then Swami said, ultimately, from Shweta Shwetar Upanishad, I had never even heard. That day I heard from Swami's divine mouth, Shweta Shwetar Upanishad, Kathot Nishad, Mandukya Upanishad. Swami was quoting from every source. And then ultimately Swami, Prema Mudita Manse Kaho Ram Ram Ram, and in his, you know, beautiful, in all humility, Swami came and sat down. By the time Swami was getting down the stage, Swami Chinmayananji got up, tears in his eyes, and he told Swami, Swami, will you allow me to speak just 2 words once again? Swami said, jolly well, you can do that. So he went up on the stage and then he said, I used to consider myself as the ultimate exponent of the Bhagavad Gita. I have given speeches on Bhagavad Gita, expositions throughout the world to millions of people. I have given a discourse in the presence of the Queen of England. But today, as I stand here, I sit here and listen to Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, I know for sure that we are all in the presence of the Gita Charya himself, he said. When he said that, we all applauded. And then coming from the mouth of a person of his stature, Swami Chinmayananji, and that is his, you know, dharma. That's why when we sing bhajans which contain this word, dharma swarupa sai hare, prema dharma swarupa ram hare, prema swarupa sai hare, we used to sing, and Swami used to tell us, sing it more and more, louder and louder, because he is the dharma swarupa. And he has proved in his life, dharma is your nature. He has taught us in a very simple way. And what is your nature? One day what happened was, some devotees were with Bhagwan in that safe room again. And then Swami was telling, you don't know, whatever I teach you, you never try to understand. See, with what patience, shanti, Swami said, shanti I teach you, with this forbearance I teach you, and you never try to learn. So Professor Kasturi said, Swami, you are divine, you are God. And you are expecting us to understand whatever you speak and practice it immediately overnight. We are just human beings, Swami. Please consider us. You know, please consider. Swami said, don't play around with words. And you don't have to certify that I am God. You don't have to give me a certificate. Swami, you are God. You don't have to say that. I am already God, Swami said. But then I want you also to declare that you are God. You are born a man, you should die a god. And how is that going to happen when you speak like this? Your words are full of, you know, you want to play around. Your words are full of mischief, Swami said. And you're cheating yourself. Then Swami said, when did I say that overnight you should become God? I didn't say that. Are you the human being? Swami asked him. He said, yes, Swami, I am a human being. Then live like a human being, Swami said. So simple. When you live a perfect human life, play it to perfection, and there is 100% it's guaranteed that I die as God. I become God. To become Sai, in the first instance, let me first become a good human being. So Swami said, practically be a human being. I am not asking you, I am not saying that, I am not certifying that just because you are in my presence, you are God already. I am not saying that. You have to work it out. Through your prarabdha, you have to work it out. So this dharma, reminding us again and again, that your dharma is to live like a human being. Just like the cat lives a perfect cat life. Ant lives a perfect ant life. These are all Swami's words. Swami said a cat is a perfect cat and ant is a perfect ant. If you look around to find a more perfect ant than the ant, you are wasting your time, Swami said. They are already perfect. They are living in the niche by nature. What's your nature? Is it to eat meat? Is it to drink alcohol? Is it to womanize? Is it to kill people? Is it to be, you know, is it to throw away compassion? Is it to speak untruth? Is that your nature? Swami asks. So live a perfect human life. That is your dharma. And then Swami says, jnana vairagya. Jnana is the ultimate knowledge. You know, one day what happened? We were all here. Swami was giving a Christmas discourse. Another 5 minutes I'll take. We'll end up with a bhajan. Swami was giving a Christmas discourse. And then Swami sang, love is my form. Swami sang that song. But that day he sang like this. Love is my palm, truth is my... He sang like this. And he sang the whole song. And some people were feeling uneasy that Swami is not really articulating it properly. His pronunciation is wrong. Some people would think that way. And for them Swami is giving that beautiful reflection. I have heard Swami speak English, my God. Can't imagine. I have heard Swami speak my language. I have heard Swami speak in Nepali language, talking to a group of Nepalese people. And that Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba speaks a very colloquial Hindi. And love is my form. And because he completed the whole song, everyone clapped. Thunderous applause. And after the discourse, we normally rush from the Purnachandra auditorium. We run back to the Mandir. So that when Swami would come back to Mandir, because Swami was living in the Mandir then. And when Swami would come back, we would be ready for one more glimpse of Bhagwan and one more word from Bhagwan. So boys would rush, and by the time I was quite senior. So I also ran slowly. Earlier I used to sprint. So by the time I reached the Mandir, already a group of boys were seated there and Swami was standing so resplendently in the middle of these people. And I also went and joined the group. And then you know what Swami was telling? Today, lot of applause for my singing. And then, you know why? Boy said, Swami, because you sang so well, do you really mean it? Swami said. That boy just sat back. Then Swami said, people all clapped because they thought that I had committed a miracle. I had performed a miracle by singing an English song. They think that Swami has never gone to school. Swami is illiterate. So when I sing an English song, it astounds them, makes them wonder. And for them, it was a miracle. So they were certifying me and applauding me. Well done, Swami. You sang an English song. So this is how we have always taken Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba in our own small way, in our own little manner. And then we talk about dharma, and jnana and vairagya, the epitome of all the jnanas. When I was doing my PhD, I needed a guide. Twice I was thrown out of the university because I didn't have a guide. And whenever I was out, he would bring me in again. PhD was just a reason for me to stay on here. Who would like to stay, do PhD? Who would like to attend colleges when Bhagwan is giving darshan every day? You would like to be with him. But then I needed a guide and he took me in many times. And I have written so many chapters and sub-chapters of my thesis purely based on Swami's teachings for my PhD thesis. It was on Buddhism, Buddhist archaeology. And he taught me the crux of what we call esoteric Buddhism. I learned from Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And the more he would reveal wonderful things to me, make me understand so difficult, intricate things, that, for instance, Parashunyata, for instance, Jokpa Chenpo, it's a very difficult subject. And when I went to professors, they confounded me completely because they also didn't know. They didn't know the crux of it. So the peripheral things, they were supplying it with lot of jargon, which I didn't understand. Because, you know, these are things, Parashunyata is to be realized. Unless you have realized Parashunyata, how can you tell somebody Parashunyata is nothingness? Swami, when he said, nothing is everything, everything is nothing, it just hit the heart, and that day I sang bhajan so well. That one word, one sentence made by Bhagwan, just before he left the bhajan hall to enter the interview room again. He said, nothing is everything, everything is nothing. And you know in what context he said that? There were students, Swami asked them, what do you want? So one boy said, Swami, I want nothing. Swami said, you are very careless. You should want something when I'm asking you. Ring, locket, what do you want? He said, Swami, I want you. Swami said, there you are very clever now. Which means you want everything. Because if you want me, and if you get me, you will get everything. Because I am everything. Then before he left the bhajan hall, he said, everything is nothing, nothing is everything. He said, and walked past by us, walked inside, back to the interview room, and we were completely dumbfounded, listening to that beautiful. So when it comes from the source, which is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, that is the proof again. It gives your heart flutters with joy, because it's coming from the source. And you are convinced to the last letter. You don't need any proof about that. When I saw Bhagwan's photograph for the first time in my life, there was no reason for me why I fell in love with him. I said, he is God, that's it. You never needed any proof of it. Just like, did you any time ask your mom, Mom, where is the proof that I am your son? I am your daughter. We never needed that. Because by default I know, my soul tells me, every drop of my blood tells me that I am the son of that mother. So it's as simple as that. I have never seen a more vairagi than Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. In fact, one day it was so touching. Swami was wearing his robe, changing his robe, because we were so close to Bhagwan. And he allowed us to see that. So he took off the button, two small gold studs, you know, button, from the other robe which he had discarded for washing. Those buttons he removed from there and then he put it on himself. So one of our boys asked him, Swami, why don't you keep another pair? Swami said, I don't need. This is enough for me. Why do I need another pair? Whom do I want to show? The whole universe is mine. Whom do I really need to show that I have one more pair of gold buttons? When this more than suffices. And then Swami sometimes makes fun, you know. And Swami says, what about you people? One lipstick is not enough. For different colored sari, you have different lipsticks, you know. Swami used the word lipstick. For different, sometimes you look so unnatural that your lip becomes green, Swami said, because you are wearing a green sari, lip also becomes green. And maroon and yellow and different colors. To the extent that you start looking very unnatural. Swami said, live in nature, that is dharma. And he is the dharma swarupa. So with these few too many words, we'll just call it a day.
Jaya Jaya Krishna Yadunandana. Jaya Jaya Krishna Yadunandana. Jaya Jaya Krishna Yadunandana. Jaya Jaya Vrinda Vana Chandana.
जय जय वृंदावन चंदना जय जय कृष्ण यदुनंदना जय जय कृष्ण मनमोहना जय जय कृष्ण मनमोहना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय कृष्ण यदुनंदना जय जय वृंदावन चंदना जय जय कृष्ण यदुनंदना जय जय कृष्ण मनमोहना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय साई गोपालना जय जय कृष्ण यदुनंदना ओ अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्य भावेन रक्ष रक्ष साईश्वरः हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री साईश्वरार्पणमस्तु
पन्नग शयना कलि अवतार प्रदायक पाप विनाशक बुद्धि प्रदायक पाप विनाशक
प्रणवस्वरूप नारायण
राजीवलोचन आदि सनातन
राजीवलोचन आदि सनातन
राजीवलोचन आदि सनातन बंध विमोचन नारायणा बंध विमोचन नारायणा पद्मनाभ प्रभु कमला मनोहर पद्मनाभ प्रभु कमला मनोहर
पद्मनाभ प्रभु कमला मनोहर
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते नारायण प्रणवस्वरूप नारायणा प्रणवस्वरूप नारायणा भवभय भंजन शेष शयन हरि प्रणव स्वरूप नारायण राजीवलोचन आदि सनातन बंध विमोचन नारायण पद्मनाभ प्रभु कमला मनोहर
पद्मनाभ प्रभु कमला मनोहर
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते नारायण
वैकुंठ पते स्वरूप नारायण प्रणव स्वरूप नारायण भव भय भंजन शेष शयन हरि प्रणव स्वरूप नारायण
जातमु कनुद ಕಲೋಲ ಪುಂಗೆನು ಕರುಣಾಜಲ ಪಾತಮು ಮನಸುಲೋನ ಪೂಜನು ಮಮತಾಜಲ ಜಾತಮು ಶಿತ ಮಗು ನೀರು ತ್ರಾಗಿ ಕಲತನೊಂದು ದೀನುನ ಕಲುಷಿತ ಮಗು ನೀರು ತ್ರಾಗಿ ಕಲತನೊಂದು ದೀನುನ ಕಷ್ಟ ಮುಲನು ಬಾಪಿ ಕರುಣನು ಕುರಿ ಬಿಂಚಿ ನಾವು ಗಾಹಿನಿ ತೊಲಗಿಂಚದ ದಯ ತೊಸಾಯಿ ಗಂಗನು ಧರಣಿಗಿದ ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರುಡವು ನೀವು ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರುಡವು ನೀವು ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರುಡವು ನೀವು ಕನುನಲೋನ ಪುಂಗೆನು ಕರುಣಾಜಲ ಪಾದವು ಮನಸುಲೋನ ಪೂಜನು ಮಮತಾಜಲ ಜಾತವು ನಗರಲೋ ಕೊಂಡಲ್ಲೋ ಕೋನಲ್ಲೋ ಗ್ರಾಮಲೋ ನಗರಲ್ಲೋ ಕೊಂಡಲ್ಲೋ ಕೋನಲ್ಲೋ ಅಡುಗಗನೇ ಎಲ್ಲರಿಗೂ ಇಚ್ಛಿನಾವು ರಾಗು ನೀರು ಅಂದರಿ ಪೈ ಅನುಗ್ರಹವು ಅಪಾರಮುಗ ಕುರಿ ಪಿಲ್ಜಿ ಜಾಲಿ ಚೂಪಿ ಜಗಮುನೇರು ಚಂದುವು ಜಾಲಿ ಚೂಪಿ ಜಗಮುನೇರು ಚಂದುವು ಜಾಲಿ ಚೂಪಿ ಜಗಮುನೇರು ಚಂದುವು
ಕನುಲಲೋನ ಪೊಂಗೆನು ಕರುಣಾ ಜಲಪಾತಮು
ಮನಸ್ಸುಲೋನ ಪೂಜನು ಮಮತಾ ಜಲ ಜಾತಮು ಕ್ಷಣಾರ್ಥಮೈ ಅವತರಿಂಚಿನ ಆತರ ಕ್ಷಣಾರ್ಥಮೈ ಅವತರಿಂಚಿನಾವು ಪ್ರಪನ್ನುಲಕು ವಿಪನ್ನುಲಕು ಪ್ರಾಣದಾತವು ಪ್ರಾಣದಾತವು ಭಕ್ತಿ ತೋನ ಪಿರಿಚಿತೇ ಪಿಲಿಚಿತೇ ಪರುಗುಣ ವಚ್ಚೇವು ಅನುರಕ್ತಿತೋನ ಕೊಲಿಚಿತೇ ರಯಮುಣ ಬ್ರೋಚೇವು ಪೇದವಾರಿ ಪೈನ ಎಂತ ಪ್ರೇಮ ನೀಕು ಪೇದವಾರಿ ಪೈನ ಎಂತ ಪ್ರೇಮ ನೀಕು ಭಕ್ತುಲತಾ ಪಾಡುತೇ ವ್ರತಮು ನೀಕು ಭಕ್ತುಲತಾ ಪಾಡುತೇ ವ್ರತಮು ನೀಕು
ದಾನಿ ದಾನಿ ಸರಿಣಿ ಸರಿದಪ ಪದ ಪದರಿ
ಪದನಿ ರಮಾ ಗಣಿ ಸಗಿ ಜಂತುಗುಲ ಮೀದನು ಗಡಿರಾಜ ವರದ ನೀಕು ಕಡು ಪ್ರೀತಿ ಮಾನವುಲ ಪೈನೇ ಕಾದು ಜಂತುಗುಲ ಮೀದನು ಗಡಿರಾಜ ವರದ ನೀಕು ಕಡು ಪ್ರೀತಿ ಮಧುರು ಕೇರಿ ಮೋಲಿಕೆ
నునలోన పొంగెను కరుణా జలపాతము
మనసులోన పోచెను మమతా జలజాతము
కనులలోన పొంగెను కరుణా జలపాతము
మనసులో